Hello and welcome to the DeFi Daily, a 10-minute or less DeFi and crypto update. I'm Amy here with Pat, and today is Monday, September 21st, 2020.
Bitcoin is trading down about 4% at 10,466, and Ethereum is down 7% to 343.
As always, thank you to our sponsor, Bitwave. Bitwave is a digital asset management platform that does DeFi investment monitoring, token tax tracking, gain loss reporting, and more. You can check them out online at bitwave.io or on Twitter at Bitwave Platform. All right, up first, Uniswap token crashes despite Uniswap rising to become the largest DeFi protocol.
Yeah, you know, I feel like Uniswap has become the sushi of the last 2 weeks for us, or the last week for us. It's every single episode we have to talk about it. The high level is that Uniswap dumped a phenomenal number of tokens on the market, and it was just a bunch of people sitting at the OK Corral waiting to draw their guns through the whole thing. Finally, someone started shooting, and the price just crashed. There's different people who have different opinions about this. It's been really interesting watching Twitter discuss. As interesting as Twitter ever is, it's been interesting watching Twitter discuss whether or not Uniswap should have done this when they did. You know, Uniswap was more or less backed into a corner by sushi, kimchi, all of the different food meme tokens, and was put into a position where they had to launch some sort of governance token. They probably could have gotten away with waiting. You know, there's probably going to be a lot more fork tokens of Uniswap in the next few months, so they might have been able to wait to really get a hammer on it. The amount of tokens they dropped and the way everything worked together, you know, 400 tokens per person per address that interacted with the Uniswap contract is crazy. I mean, people were getting millions of dollars from this if they were really using this contract a lot. And even people who had just traded, you know, 1 cent of coin were getting $1,200, $1,500. So it was only a matter of time before the token crashed dramatically with everyone cashing out. And it was inevitably going to be this like really accelerating crash where once people realized that it was going down, it was going to hit really, really hard and really fast. So that's what happened. You know, I think it'll keep going down for a little bit and then at some point stabilize. They have an enormous market cap. One of the issues that we talk about on the show a lot, which goes for Uniswap also, is that you need a governance token to really have value. Governance tokens need to have true value. The Uniswap token doesn't, it controls two things. One is listing some tokens on their homepage, kind of. And then the other one is they have a sort of set aside treasury fund, but it's not even their main treasury fund. Like Uniswap is independently funded by VCs. So their main you know, company corporate treasury has nothing to do with the small treasury fund they've set up that's controlled by Uni. So, you know, I don't see a ton of value in their token. It really is a speculation and kind of a sentiment move for people, who know Uniswap, have heard about it and see that the TVL is way up.
All right. Well, interesting to watch as always. Okay. Up next, the New York Attorney General has asked a judge to order Bitfinex to disclose documents detailing a $900 million credit line between Bitfinex and Tether.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about this today because, anyone who's followed crypto and DeFi now for the last few months and crypto for the last few years knows about Bitfinex and they know about Tether. They, you know, you probably have at least heard about Tether being a very questionably asset-backed token. Essentially, you know, the rumor on the street, or I should say the assertion by the company Tether, is that they hold one-to-one Tether tokens to USD. Right now, there are something like $15 billion of Tether floating around. It would be shocking to me if they actually have $15 billion in cash reserves to back that. So I'd say most people out there believe that they are doing some sort of fractional reserve banking. Now, where it all got super shady was that Bitfinex is never officially said that they were related to Tether back in the day. But what would happen is you would see a lot of the early price moves around Bitcoin were driven by enormous amounts of Tether getting issued and then those being used to immediately buy up a bunch of Bitcoin. So there's always this really weird relationship between Bitcoin and Tether. It was always super, super tenuous. Now you look at, when you look at a $1 billion credit line between these two companies, God, you got to ask hard questions. Like very few companies have $1 billion of credit between them. And this is sort of it. So I think we're going to find out a lot more. I'm excited to find out more about about this. Like, this was a it's been one kind of the great mysteries of crypto over the last few years, is like, what really is going on here? And like, there's so much shadiness and so many questions that no one really knows. So high level, if you ever notice that Tether tends to have more fluctuation in value than other stable coins, it is because people really trust Tether quite a bit less. And if there was ever a run on Tether where people were trying to pull it out, I would say there's very low odds that they actually have enough money backing Tether to really pull it out. Now, none of that really matters. I mean, stable coins, you know, as long as it can be used as a proxy, does it really matter if it's fractional reserve or not? That to me is one of the most interesting questions of cryptocurrency in general. Like, the US dollar is not backed by anything. It's used as a mode of transfer. So why can't, a mode of exchange. So why can't Tether with no actual backing be used? I don't know. It's a super deep philosophical question. But I'm very excited to see, to watch the HBO miniseries about this once it's all done.
All right. Well, it is interesting. All right. Up next, DeFi yield farming aggregator APY Finance raises $3.6 million in seed funding.
Yeah, this is interesting. I mean, there's two parts of this that are really interesting. One is what they're doing and what their business model is. And the other one is that you just don't see people raising seed funds anymore in the DeFi space. Like, that to me was super interesting. Interestingly, we haven't announced a seed fundraise in, I don't know, probably since the beginning of this podcast, like a month or two ago, 3 months, whatever it was. It stood out to me that it was really interesting as someone who was raising traditional seed funding, because a lot, like, the direction of DeFi has been that it is almost not tenable to do a seed fund raise, because the way people have to monetize the seed, or the way they have to, you know, create value for their investors from a seed fund raise, is they have to issue them tokens. And that necessarily means a pre-mine of the tokens and a pre-allocation of the tokens to the investors. Or if the company themselves is going to hold on to the token allocation, they have to guarantee the token rights to the investors. Like, you basically have to find some way to provide value to your investors when you do a seed fund raise. So the trend, if you look at most of the DeFi projects since Uniswap, has been to do a governance token and have some sort of mechanism where developers and the company itself get some tokens, and then the community gets some tokens and all gets balanced. The real worry to this, the reason this is not a sustainable model, or at least the reason you ask hard questions about whether this is a sustainable model or not, is because, you know, these guys are undoubtedly going to release this all as open source. I mean, you have to do DeFi, because there's too much risk. You know, people have to see the actual smart contracts. So they're going to open source it, and they're immediately going to get a company, like someone's going to go and immediately fair launch a fork that has, you know, 100% community ownership, and that just eats their lunch out of the gate. So that was the first thing that's really interesting here, is, okay, hey, someone did a traditional seed round. If they raised today, they probably have been working on it for at least probably a month or two. So that could have something to do with it. Like, the market has drastically changed in the last 3 weeks. Like, that's literally been since SushiSwap launched. It has been like 3 weeks, and that was the foundational, like, ground shift change of the entire industry. So that was first. Second of all, it is interesting what they're doing. You know, one of the problems with yield farming today is that it is expensive because of gas fees. So that if I go and I want to do some yield farming investing, if I have $100 to invest, literally that's 60, the $40 of that is taken off the top is part of Ethereum gas fees to get my yield farming in. And it's not easy to yield farm. Like, it's actually, you know, in their press release, they said, hey, it's just a matter of investing, you know, staking some tokens. That is definitely not what yield farming is. Everyone who's listening to this knows yield farming is a very complicated, like, set of choices between choosing which platform you want to stake, sometimes doing really crazy folded loans, doing crazy folded staking. I mean, there's all these, like, crazy mechanisms in there. And so they want to partly abstract some of that away. I think they're going to end up with some relatively simplistic strategies. But even if all they do is pool a bunch of finances so that they can sort of invest in yield farming in such a way as to essentially maximize their return versus the gas fees that are happening, that is very interesting, with the caveat that, like, gas fees are not going to stay this high forever. So I'm not sure that this is a super long-term thing. But hey, raise $4 million and jump on the DeFi bandwagon. That's awesome. I support that.
Yeah, great. Good for them. All right. Please remember to keep submitting new and interesting DeFi projects to us on Twitter at the DeFi Daily or by emailing us at info@thedefidaily.com. Thank you. Have a great day.
Have a good one.